God is love and a home of love is Agape House New Testament Church, led by God's anointed servant, Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
God is working and nothing can stop you. There's no one who can stop you when you've got the love of God in you. And the love of God means He's always on your side. Somebody shout hallelujah.
At Agape House, we believe in the transforming power of God's love because God has a plan for all His children. It's an exciting, thriving, multicultural and contemporary environment, and you don't have to feel alone. Come join our family and experience this amazing love of God at our weekend services, Saturdays from 6 to 8 p.m. and on Sundays from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. for the first service and 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. for the second service. The Agape House New Testament Church is located at Agape Land, East Legon, close to the ANC Square. Agape House New Testament Church, glorifying God and transforming lives. 2012 has been full of ups and downs, tears and laughter. But through it all, God's love kept you going strong. On 31st of December 2012, from 9 p.m. sharp, join Reverend Richard C. Wickham and Agape House New Testament Church to bid farewell to 2012 and welcome 2013 in a grand style. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year! As we step into God's covenant promise, live from Agape House New Testament Church, Agape Land, East Legon, near the ANC Square, from 9 p.m. sharp, you don't want to miss this for anything in the world. Agape House New Testament Church, glorifying God, transforming lives.
God is like that father in the parable. He's looking for you. God forgives us of the past. He will never bring up our sin again. Never too late to turn to God. Hello, friends, and welcome to Revelation. This is the program that brings you truth for today, truth that will transform your life. That's why I'm so glad you're watching right now, for I believe that God is going to bless you and touch your life as never before through the Word of God. You see, friends, the fact is, it's the Word of God that sets us free. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And I believe as we grow in our knowledge of God's truth, we're going to see greater and greater liberation and freedom in our lives. That's why Jesus came to this earth and was born among us. He came to set us free. He came so that we could be liberated from sin and from death and from Satan. He came to give us abundant life. He came so that our sins could be forgiven, that our souls could be saved, so that we could live with Him forever. That's why I say, joy to the world, the Lord has come. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is not just a holiday for feasting and friendship. It's not just a time for putting on new fashions and singing carols. Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate. He's the reason for the season. And frankly speaking, we have a lot to celebrate with Jesus because of all the great things He's done for us. He came to earth to redeem us and set us free from sin. But not only that, He's our healer and our deliverer. We know that Christ was born so that the works of the devil would be destroyed and we would be set free. And thank God for all of these great things Jesus has done for us. But there's something else you need to know today. His purposes are not yet finished. We have not yet seen everything that Jesus is going to do. You know, there are still some promises that He gave us that have yet to come to pass. Jesus promised He would come back to earth a second time to fulfill the rest of those promises. So as we celebrate the first coming of Jesus at Christmas, it's important that we also prepare for His second coming. He came the first time, born in a manger, to live among us, to die on the cross, so that we could be saved. But He's coming a second time to complete the work of redemption in us. In fact, the Bible tells us He's coming back again to fulfill His promises. He's coming to finish the work He started. So today, as we celebrate His first coming, we can also look forward to His second coming. As we worship Him as the King born in Bethlehem, we can prepare for His coming as the King of Kings who will bring final redemption to his children. That's the good news found in our Bible text for today. It's in 1 John chapter 3, 2-3, right there on the screen. Why don't we read it aloud together? Are you ready? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there are three important truths that we need to see about Jesus, the coming King, today. We can learn them from this passage. Here's the first one, the return of Jesus. He is indeed coming again to the earth. The Bible says in verse 2, we know that when he appears. Now listen carefully, friends. We know that this verse is not talking about the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. For this passage was written long after Jesus had been born, died, and rose again. What is it talking about? It's referring to his second coming, when every eye will see him. For you see, both the Old and New Testaments are full of promises of the return of Christ. There's over 1,800 references to his return in the Old Testament. Of the 260 chapters in the New Testament, there are more than 300 references to Jesus coming a second time. That's one out of every 30 verses. For every prophecy in the first coming of Christ, there are 8 on Christ's second coming. So listen to some of them today about the second coming of Jesus. Here's what Jesus himself said. He said he would come again in John 14. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. The angels also talked about Christ's second coming in Acts 1:9. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The apostles also talked about his coming in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. So Jesus talked about it. The angels talked about it. The apostles talked about it. Let's understand today that Jesus Christ is indeed coming back again. That's why John says we know when he appears. We know it's coming. We know it will happen. We are confident of this very fact. If you believe that Jesus came to earth and was born in a manger in Bethlehem, if you believe that he lived on this earth for 33 years, was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, then you must also eagerly anticipate and expect the return of Jesus to the earth a second time. You will shout joy to the world. Jesus has come, and Jesus is coming again. But what will his second coming be like? Friends, it's not going to be at all like his first coming. The first time he came as a baby born in a manger, but the second time he's coming in the clouds where everyone will see him. You see, the return of Jesus will result in the revelation of Jesus. We will see him as he is, and that's our second truth. The revelation of Jesus Christ is coming. Verse 2 tells us, we shall see him as he is. When he returns, he will be fully revealed. Now, why does the Bible say we will see him as he is? Because we have yet to fully see Jesus in all his glory. We've seen a lot about him. We've seen his salvation and his healing and his power. But what we've seen is limited. It's only a small portion of who he is and what he's like. See, the Christmas image of Jesus born in a manger in Bethlehem is not the revelation of Jesus as he is. The first coming of Jesus just gives us a partial picture, but not a complete one. His first coming was hidden in many ways. People didn't recognize him. Though it was clearly prophesied about his coming the first time, it wasn't fully revealed to people. They expected a king who would overthrow the Romans, but instead he came as a crucified Savior. They expected a mysterious God, but here was Jesus walking amongst us. But in his second coming, everyone will see him as he fully is. He won't be veiled, he'll be revealed. He won't be hidden, he'll be hailed. Revelation 1:7 says, "Look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen." How will every eye see him? Well, he will shine like the brightness of the sun. He will come with millions of angels and with saints who've gone before. He will come supernaturally, not bound by time or space, and every eye will see him. You see, friends, there are many differences between his first and second coming. The first coming was hidden from most, but his second coming will be open to all. Very few acknowledged Jesus when he first came. There was a handful of shepherds, the angels. One old man and one old woman came to the temple on the eighth day when he was dedicated. A few wise men came from another country to worship Jesus. But the fact is, most people ignored this event. Most people were unaware of Jesus coming to earth. Even when they heard the testimonies of the shepherds or the wise men, most people just shrugged it off and ignored it. But there will be no ignoring the second coming of Christ. The Bible says he will come in the clouds with the shout of angels, with a great trumpet blast. The whole host of heaven will follow him. A second difference between the first and the second coming is this. His first coming was to save, but his second coming will be to judge. When Jesus came to earth, the Bible says he came to seek and save the lost. But his second coming is to judge the world. Matthew 25 says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left." His second coming will be very different for all the people of the world. It reminds me of the story of a young man here in Accra. One day, this youth was standing on the side of the road in Accra. Suddenly, a driver lost control of the car and ran off the road. The car was headed right towards this young man who did not see it coming. All of a sudden, an elderly gentleman saw the danger and rushed to rescue this young man. At the very last second, the old man grabbed the youth and pulled him out of harm's way. The gentleman saved the youth. The youth was very grateful and thanked the man. Then the man told the youth, "Make something useful of your life and do good." And then he left him. But the youth didn't listen. And a year later, this young man was caught stealing. He was taken to court. And there, to his surprise, he found out that the judge he was facing was none other than the old gentleman who had saved his life a year before. The youth cried out to the judge, "Remember me? I'm the young man you saved about this time last year. I was standing on the roadside when you rescued me from a car. You pulled me to safety. Judge, since you saved my life once, save me again." But the judge looked at him and said, "I saved you and told you to make something useful of your life, but you've wasted your life. The effort I made in saving you was lost. Now I stand to judge you." And the judge sent the youth to prison. The second coming of Christ will be very different for us. The first coming, he came in humility, but the second coming, he's coming in power. Revelation 19 describes it in this way. "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, friends. He's coming. He won't come as a baby. He won't come in a manger. He won't come in secret or quietly. He won't be beaten again or crucified. No, this time when he comes, he's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's coming to conquer. And friend, think about what this means for you and me. All those things that are bothering you now won't bother you any longer. The devil will be totally defeated and destroyed when Jesus comes again. As the conquering hero, he's coming with an army. He's coming with a host of heaven. He's coming to smite the enemies of God and lift up the people of God. So lift up your heads. Get ready to shout. Get ready to celebrate. For Jesus, the King of Kings, is coming again. One time there were two little boys who were quarreling and it was about to become a fight. The one little boy was named Kofi. He was smaller than the other boy named Kwame. But still, Kofi held his ground, and Kwame was surprised. And finally, Kwame said to him, "Don't you know, if you don't back down, I will beat you. I'm bigger than you, and I can deal with you. I can punish you. I can make you suffer. Why are you so bold?" Then Kofi just shook his head and pointed behind Kwame. For you see, there, behind Kwame, the bigger boy, stood Kofi's senior brother, who was bigger than both of them. Friend, our big brother Jesus is coming again. When the devil threatens us, we need only to shake our head and say, "No, behind me is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." For the return of Jesus will result in the revelation of Jesus, and the revelation of Jesus will result in the reflection of Jesus. And that's our third lesson for today. When Christ comes again, he will be revealed, and we will reflect him. See, verse 2 says, when we see him, we will become like him. We're going to be changed to reflect the glory of the Lord. And I want to let you know today, friend, the best is yet to come. There is a purpose of God still to be accomplished in your life. Now we are the children of God. Now we have Jesus as our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, and our baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And yet, with all of that good news, there's still something better, something glorious ahead. For when he comes again, we will see him as he is. And that will produce in us the reflection of his glory. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 53. "But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. We will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Mortal will put on immortality. Corruption will put on incorruption. Flesh will put on a glorified body." His first coming brought us so many great things. What will his second coming bring to us? Even greater blessings. Friend, you're not all that God wants you to be. He's not finished with you yet. He's still working, still preparing, still developing you. So don't be discouraged about your life. Sometimes you may look at yourself and say, "I wish I was different. I wish I wasn't like this." But friends, there's good news. God is going to change us all. Now we are the children of God. Now we can come to him in prayer. Now we can see his Spirit at work in us. But there's still something greater ahead. He's still working, still changing us, still perfecting us. And one day his work in us will be complete when he comes again. So what should we do as we're waiting for his return? Well, we have to get ready. We have to purify ourselves. As verse 3 told us in our text for today, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And if you believe that he's coming again, you've got to prepare your heart. You've got to get rid of the sin and the habits that weigh you down. You've got to watch over your life so that you can be ready for his return. A few years ago, a man from Ayi Mensa went to America and became very wealthy. He decided to come back home and build a school at Ayi Mensa. So he did. One day after the school was in session, this rich man visited the school. He told the students that he was going to go back to U.S., but when he would return, he would make a promise to them. He would give a prize to the one whose desk was found in the best order when he returned. He didn't tell them when he was coming, so all the students began to get ready. But shortly after he left, a little girl, noted for her messy habits, announced that she intended to win the prize. All her classmates laughed at her and said, "Why, Amma, your desk is always out of order. It's never been clean." "Oh," she said, "starting from right now, I'm going to clean it the first of every week." "Well, what if the man comes at the end of the week?" they said. "Well, then I'll clean it every morning," they said. "Well, what if he comes in the afternoon?" Then her face lightened up and she said, "I know what I'll do. I'll keep it clean all the time." And friends, that's what we must do as Christians. We've got to be ready all the time for the coming of the King. So let me ask you today, is there anything in your life that you need to get rid of to prepare yourself for the second coming? Is there any relationship you're in that you need to end so you can be ready when he returns? Is there something that you're not doing today that you should be doing? Is there some area of disobedience in your life that you need to correct so that when he comes again, you can stand before him? For you see, when he comes, he's not coming as a baby. He's coming as a king. He came to save us the first time, but now he's coming to judge us. Not so long ago, I was at the airport waiting for someone to arrive from the U.S. As we stood outside, I started watching the crowd. You know, it's interesting to watch people at the airport. Some people are there with excitement and anticipation. Their loved one is coming home. You can see them smiling. They're carrying flowers or balloons or a sign saying, "Welcome home, Kumi." And when their loved one comes out of the airport, oh my, there's a shout of joy. They run to embrace one another. Laughter and tears of joy, songs of rejoicing. It's wonderful. When you watch them, you also will smile. But at the same airport, at the same time, there are people weeping. For you see, the same airplane that brings people home to Ghana also takes people away. As the announcer announces the arrival of one flight, she's also beginning to announce the departure of the same plane back where it came from. And so the scene is different at the departure section. While some are welcoming family at the arrivals, there are others saying goodbye to loved ones at the departure. They shed tears. They embrace and hold on to one another, if trying to prevent the separation. When the flight is called, they have to be torn apart from one another. If you watch those people, you'll weep. The fact is, the same plane that brought people home and gave joy also took others away and brought weeping. The same plane that brings happiness brings sorrow. And so it is when Christ comes again. When he comes, some will be laughing, some will be rejoicing, some will receive their reward, and with great joy and anticipation, they'll say, "Jesus, here I am, take me home." But others will be weeping, realize that they're going to be separated for all of eternity from God and from the Savior. Which crowd will you be in? The one that's anticipating Christ's return or the one that's weeping? Which crowd will you be in? Will you be rejoicing that he's come to give you his reward and take you home? Or will you be sorrowful, realizing that you weren't ready and you weren't prepared? The best way for you to celebrate the first coming of Christ is to prepare yourself for the second. The best way you can celebrate Christmas, Christ coming to save us, is to receive him in your heart and to begin to purify your life today so that when he comes again, he will receive you to himself as his own. That's my prayer for you this blessed Christmas season, that you will anticipate and eagerly expect his second coming, that you'll purify yourself and get ready for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back again. May God bless you as you prepare for his second coming.
Thank you for joining us today on Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb. I trust that today's message has been a great blessing to you. We have the study notes for today's teaching and a study guide on our current topic of Christmas at www.revrcw.com. The study guide will help you study God's Word for yourself. You'll also be able to view other episodes of Revelation, and you'll be able to listen to selected sermons from Pastor Whitcomb online at www.revrcw.com, and it's all for free. Please join us next week at the same time on the same station for another exciting episode of Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb. May God richly bless you.
2012 has been full of ups and downs, tears and laughter. But through it all, God's love kept you going strong. On 31st of December 2012, from 9 p.m. sharp, join Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb and Agape House New Testament Church to bid farewell to 2012 and welcome 2013 in a grand style. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year! As we step into God's covenant promise, live from Agape House New Testament Church, Agape Land East Legon, near the ANC Square, from 9 p.m. sharp, you don't want to miss this for anything in the world. Agape House New Testament Church, glorifying God, transforming lives. God is love, and a home of love is Agape House New Testament Church, led by God's anointed servant, Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
God is working, and nothing can stop you. There's no one who can stop you when you've got the love of God in you, and the love of God means He's always on your side. Somebody shout hallelujah.
At Agape House, we believe in the transforming power of God's love, because God has a plan for all His children. It's an exciting, thriving, multicultural, and contemporary environment, and you don't have to feel alone. Come join our family and experience this amazing love of God at our weekend services, Saturdays from 6 to 8 p.m. and on Sundays from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. for the first service and 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. for the second service. The Agape House New Testament Church is located at Agape Land East Legon, close to the ANC Square. Agape House New Testament Church, glorifying God and transforming lives.
Program is brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry through the generous support of our partners. Watch Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb each week at the same time on this station. For more inspiration, visit our website at www.revrcw.com.